is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves.
Radio waves.
This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael W. Dean? Lisa DeLascio?
It is working.
Right. Well, it's working, but it's being... the rejuvenative powers, I think, are being muted by the low-frequency energy in my house that I can hear that my wife can't hear for some reason. I'm Michael Dean, and I approve this message. Hi. What's up, kids?
Not much, Michael. Having a good evening.
You have such a great voice. You're so sexy. You make... What did I say? You make Barry White sound like...
Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert
Gottfried. Affleck.
Yeah. Yeah. That's you.
I don't know about all that, but I'll take it.
That's great.
How many murder dogs do you have tonight?
Tonight it is just me and my murder dog again. We are gearing up for the we're gearing up for the end of the month when we get overrun by more friends. And
How does the cycle of murder dogs work in your world?
I haven't actually been able to figure that out. For years I've been trying to, but it never seems to line up. I mean, holidays are always the same pretty much every year.
People don't take their murder dogs with them?
No. Well, a lot of people go overseas. Some people fly across country, and it's not really safe to put your animals in planes. I mean, even the airlines that do it specifically for animals, I wouldn't necessarily trust those things.
Yeah. So. When DJ and I moved from California to Wyoming, we brought our cats. I don't have cats anymore because I'm allergic to them, but I'm going to get better so I can have cats again. But
I thought we'd move you on to getting a dog. What happened with that?
No. We've talked about it. We're like, I don't want to scoop poop. Yeah. I want to get cats. I don't want to follow. I don't want something that barks, you know? And you know, the one time
you can get a Basenji. The barkless dog.
Well, no way, but the one time someone tried to break into our house in LA while I was there, I had headphones on, and the cats let me know. The cats came up and were pawing me because someone was trying to come in the window. So,
wow.
You know, cats will work. But,
well, they can.
Yeah. And so when we moved here, we drove here in a U-Haul. A giant U-Haul. And it took like 3 days. And we stayed in hotels. It's really hard to... This is back when we smoked, too, or I smoked. It's really hard to find hotels that'll take pets and allow you to smoke. I mean, man, we stayed in some really scary hotels, motels.
Well, you would have to. That's like...
Yeah.
With the way the insurance companies are set up for those places, that's like the ultimate risk right there. A smoker with a small pee stain can stink up the entire room. Yeah, it kind of.
And we had guns. I mean, you know, hey, we're totally risky. Yeah, but
well, those are the things they don't know. Those are the things they usually don't know about. But.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I can see why.
Yeah.
Did you sedate the cats, or did you just
ran
the risk?
But I want to tell an interesting story that I told a friend of mine on Twitter the other day. An interesting animal story that he said I should tell on the show. It has nothing to do with anything. Okay, when I lived in L.A. I had this downstairs neighbor named Maureen. There's a picture of her on the Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow movie site. I have to mention that every show. Steve Miller says it's the law. I have to mention Hubert Selby. So if you go to CubbyMovie.com, there's a picture, I think at the bottom of the page, of Hubert Selby with Maureen, my downstairs neighbor, who's now dead of cancer. But Maureen had two cats that were big, fluffy Maine Coon types that were afraid of everything. One time she called me, or she came up and knocked on my door and said, "Michael, can you come down and help me? There's a mouse in my house." And I'm like, "Okay." And I'm like, I'm walking down there. I'm like, "Wait, don't you have two cats?" And I go down there and there's this baby mouse. I mean, it's like half the size of a normal mouse in the corner. And her two cats are like terrified, like across, like the mouse has cornered the cats.
That's so funny.
So I grabbed a wine glass or a glass and like put it over the mouse and put a card, 3x5 card under it, and took it outside and tossed it. It was a beautiful day, sunny LA, you know,
little
December.
Mouse flying through the air.
Yeah, the mouse flies into the unmown grass, starts running away. My cat Charlie was hiding around the corner and just came running faster than I've ever seen Charlie. And like had that mouse in its mouth. And was gone. It's gone.
Oh, that reminds me. There was an animated movie that had a scene like that. I can't remember which one it is, where they keep trying. Yeah. This poor guy keep trying to save a little baby, and every time he does, it gets eaten by something else.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was, you know, it kind of shows you the variation between the same species. Like, you know, the two cats that are terrified of the little baby mouse, and the cat that's like, oh, lunch, an appetizer for lunch, you know. And so Maureen, after she passed away, this is kind of sad, but after she passed away, her parents had come out and stayed with her while she was dying. They're from Canada. They'd come down and stayed with her while she was dying, which is really sweet. And and I was like I was a witness on her will, which is really weird. Like, it was just basically like I was in the house at the time they needed somebody. Like, someone came up and said, hey, can you come down and witness this? I'm like, yeah. So part of her thing was that her parents get her cats, and they were going to fly, you know, flying back to Canada. And, they'd gone to the vet and gotten drugs to drug the cats, like pills. You're supposed to push down their throats, you know? And my friend Martine was there, Martine Lenoble, who was the bass player in Porno for Pyros and The Cult and Thelonious Monster and some other cool bands. And he's my buddy. He wins the prize. Okay. He was literally a street junkie. Like, he told me he played Woodstock with Porno for Pyros, and they were all wearing their like zoot suits. Remember? I don't know if you guys saw this, but it was a really cool show. Mm. And then like 3 days later, he's in New York City in his underwear, because he'd sold the suit for drugs, like, in his underwear, but still wearing like the nice shoes, you know. What? And he'd wrapped, like, found a t-shirt on the ground, was wearing it over his underwear, like a skirt, shirtless, penniless, out of his mind, walking down the street in the East Village in New York, like looking for more drugs. So he finally got clean. And this part of the story was, I'd used with him. I actually saved his life once when he OD'd at my house in San Francisco. I just kicked him in the head until he woke up. But
don't try this at home, kids.
Don't try this at home, kids. Yeah, stick your murder dog on him or call 9. Call
no, no, don't call 911. That's even worse.
Call 911.
Sell 411.
Sell 411.
Yeah. So after he got clean, he married Kelly Bundy, the girl that played Kelly Bundy. What's the actress's name?
Christina Applegate.
Yeah, he's married to Christina Applegate.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, wow.
So like the gifts of recovery. You know, we all wanted to marry Kelly Bundy, didn't we? When we were younger. I did.
Maybe I'm too old. There was a point. No. I was a huge fan of Married
With. You wanted to get with her. Yeah. So he got with her, and he's been very happily ever after. But Maureen's parents asked us to help dose these cats. So he was holding them, and I was shoving the pill down the cat's mouth, and he was holding their jaws open. And he turns to me and he goes, you know, Michael, they used to do this to me before they'd put me on a plane too. When I was in Porto for Pyros.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Good times. Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a cat that caught a live bird in my house once.
You know why they rip their heads off?
Wait a minute. Why was there a live bird in your house?
Because they're bringing you a gift and they're preparing you a meal and they're removing the parts that don't taste good, the heads and the feet. So when they bring you a mouse or a bird where they've taken off the head and the feet, that's why.
Well, this cat used to play fetch, and she'd bring us socks and things like that. Like, you know, don't leave underwear around, because she'd bring them to you. Yeah, when people were visiting and stuff. Like, whoops. So one day my roommate at the time was home. I was at work, and he said, you know, I was just sitting down here on the couch working, and Mimi came down the stairs, you know, meowing and with something in her mouth, and he thought it was a sock. And she came over to him, to his feet, you know, and he thought she was going to drop a sock there to play fetch with. And he looked down, and this bird flew up into his face. And so he had to catch it. He said it was complete chaos. He went and got like a big pot from the kitchen and a lid and caught the bird and put it outside. And he said she looked at him like, you horrible person. Well, do you know what I went through to catch that thing?
The reason they bring them to you is to reward you for being such a good hunter. Cause like,
yeah.
You know, if you work out of the house, you know, you're out of the house 8 hours a day and you come home and they've always got food. So they think you're out hunting for 8 hours, which you kind of are, but there's some intermediaries and some money involved there, but
right.
You're a good hunter. So they're hunting for you and preparing a meal for you. And then you step on the eviscerated mouse guts when you walk out in the garage with your bear.
Yeah, he said she looked really offended. Like, how could you do that?
Yeah,
I still don't understand where the how did you get the bird in the first place?
We never figured that out either, and it was
birds get into buildings.
Yeah, somehow buildings, got in. Yeah. I don't know.
I guess. Yeah. I mean,
there's a big like Walmart size. Store in my town that has birds permanently living in the rafters.
Oh,
they can't
yeah, oh yeah, those big stores have houses store. Are a little yeah. different usually. Although I've had squirrel infestations. I had a baby squirrel in my bedroom twice. That actually going back to the scared cat story. My cat, who actually was a decent ratter, but hated all the dogs and used to hide my room, was petrified of the bird I used to have, was petrified of my ferrets, and was petrified of the baby squirrel, and did absolutely nothing to help me. Because what ended up happening was the first time it happened, I managed to flush the squirrel out in a hurry. The second time it happened, it was in the middle of the night.
Something else.
Well, no, the second time it happened, it was in the middle of the night, and I woke up because the cat ran across me, running away from the squirrel. Because the cat ran across me, the squirrel came second, and then the dog came after the squirrel, and that was the order running in.
There wasn't.
I was going to say that.
But they literally. That's how I woke up, with the three of them running across my chest.
When I was homeless, like punk rocker in DC, I woke up with a rat running across my face one time when I was sleeping in an abandoned factory, because I had bread I'd fished out of a dumpster in my backpack that I was using as a pillow. Good times, good times. Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, and none of the other candidates, left or right, are any better.
Agreed.
This is objectively true.
Yep, fact.
So, you ever bought coffee from a lady in a bikini?
I can't say I have.
I have not. No, not that I know weekend. Of.
I'm going to talk about it when we get back. My wife took me to this new place in Casper called Man Cave Coffee Kiosk, and I will link it in the show notes because the pictures are kind
familiar.
Of fun.
Yeah.
Man Cave. Hey, let me see your man cave. Well, they tried it before, cave, baby.
Yeah, I saw that on TV.
I don't think this one. The one in Casper? I don't think they have TV in Casper. Well,
I don't know about
used to be
that,
on the news but... here, but, you know.
You got a China allergy, right?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Man Cave Coffee. Casper.
Get you some.
Get you some. You said that on something before.
Learn you some. That was on Prof CJ's liner that I tried to cut.
Did you make that up?
I've probably heard it before, some variation.
Sound pretty
it.
Black. I'm a black yeah. man. I'm part black, so I can say you sound pretty black, dude.
Excellent. There you go. Now I have verified street cred. Good stuff.
So the name of this episode is "There Was an Old Lady Who Swallowed a Taxation Is Theft."
That's great.
I don't know what I'm using for the image, but I like it.
Well, tomorrow's the 18th, right? That's the big I think that was Friday. I don't remember because
this year it's Monday because Friday is some like Patriot Day in DC or something.
Is that why they're doing it?
Damn me.
I know the big taxation there. There's a bunch of Twitter feeds and Facebook pages that are promoting a big taxation of stuff.
Lincoln killed on April 15th? That's what I celebrate. Yeah, April 15th.
I didn't look up. Well, there you go.
Yep.
Well, that's an excellent day for me to 65. Celebrate then.
Excellent. Yeah. Did you hear a tyrant was killed? Yeah.
Did you hear about the taxpayer pride thing that's going on?
Wait. As a black man, I'm offended by what I just said. Okay,
you just defended yourself? Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm constant. That's the ultimate SJW lore.
Yeah.
It's almost unattainable. You have to offend.
You triggered yourself.
The hierarchy. You have to trigger yourself.
Well, I'm English and Irish too, so I'm constantly at war with myself. But.
So.
Yeah.
Man Cave Coffee?
Yeah, Man Cave Coffee is. This really is barely a story, except that. Okay, there's this new coffee kiosk, one of those little, like, you know, like a closet. On wheels in the middle of a parking lot opened up in Casper. Those are pretty popular here. There's like 10 of them in a town of like 50,000 people. Do you guys have those? Like,
I haven't seen any of them yet. I've seen stories of them, but just any kiosk. No, I know what you're saying.
They're really
lucrative, man, because like, I mean, I guess there is a Starbucks in this town, but for one thing, it's always got a line, you know, so like people on their way rushing to work don't have time to go do that. So they, and I don't know if they even have drive through. So these are drive through only.
Oh, there you go.
That's cool. Yeah.
And, you know, they served hot steaming coffee. So there's like 10 of them. So some lady wanted to start one that would differentiate from the other one. So she started one where it's all ladies working there and they all wear bikinis and serve you coffee. And I will link this. They have a Facebook page with pictures. Actually, though, all the pictures are the same lady. I think only one lady works there. But
well, that's, yeah, but see that? I mean, that's actually coming full circle because it's essentially just like the old photo marts, right? Just in the middle of a parking lot, you just drive through. And they have had these before. I think in Seattle a couple of years ago they started, but they were actually like cafes. This is probably even a better situation for the ladies because they don't have to worry about anybody coming in. They're just driving by.
That's true. Yeah.
See, I want to know, A, do they have a gun in there? And B, do they go to the bathroom in there? But that's none of my business. So my wife told me about it. She wanted to take me because she told me that here's why the story in this is that it's Wyoming. So all these like church lady people are trying to put them out of business. We don't want our husbands going there. So of course my wife takes me there. Like, I'm like, I'm the coolest wife in the world. She's like, let's go look at the whores. She said, let's go look at the bikini ladies and get some good coffee. And we did. And it was really fun until a truck pulled up on the other side with these two leering rednecks in it. Like, I was looking at them while the lady was making our coffee. And they were just like, hey, Cletus, check that. It's a half-naked lady. You know, like, I mean, they could have been a parody on Saturday Night Live. They were so, like, gross and leering. But, you know.
Ew.
That's why I never went to strip clubs. Like, I don't have a problem with seeing naked ladies. I like it. But I don't like the men at strip clubs. Like, I used to date strippers, and they'd, you know, go in to get their check at work to buy me things. Because that's how I was. I didn't pay to see ladies. Like, ladies who got paid to be naked bought me stuff because I was a musician. That's how it works. What do you call a musician without a girlfriend?
Homeless. Oh. clothes.
No, that's what you call a guy who follows a bunch of musicians around and goes to all their gigs. The drummer.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh.
Yeah. Or what's the difference between a drummer and an extra large pizza with cheese?
I don't know.
The pizza can feed a family of four. Okay.
Oh, I think I've heard that one.
Drums are noise, but without music, without drums, music just falls on the floor. So here's some good drumming. We're going to go to the market. Check out Man Cave Coffee. Don't listen to the church ladies. It's good coffee. They need sleeves for their coffee, though. Isn't that everywhere?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms. So, there's a sound that I feel.
It's not me this time.
There's a sound in my house that only I can hear. And my wife believes me, though. She doesn't hear it, but she believes me because she knows I have super kitty hearing and can hear things before other people can. So there's this really low sound in my house. Now, here's the thing. I think I can actually record it. I think it's so real I can record it. But I need to do it with a special mic with my computers off and my wife not home late at night. So I may do it the next few days and then amplify it 10 times and then play it on the show. It's because I hear it. And I'm pretty sure it could be. It's a low kind of rumbling sound that's really quiet. It's not my heartbeat. It's not the computer fans. It's not the hum of the universe. What I think it is I think it's about a year ago, because it wasn't always there, but I don't remember exactly when I started hearing this low pitch sound, but I've been very sick and I'm less sick now. I'm still pretty sick, but so I probably wouldn't have noticed it because I was busy like fighting to breathe and be alive. So I wouldn't notice sounds, but I think it's about a year ago we got radon abatement put in the house because we were trying to figure out like what was wrong with me. You know, we had mold testing done, we had radon testing done,
sure.
We had all sorts of stuff done. We had like all of the back garden, all the plants ripped out, like the backyard. You've seen pictures of it. It's like a big gravel pit now. It was a nice garden spot before. So
it's like beachfront property now with gravel instead of grass
and bunnies. Yeah. So we had radon abatement done because we did have radon in the basement. It's fairly common here because there's so much uranium. So,
what does that entail? It's,
well, the testing entails leaving a device a few days in your basement and then taking it away and testing it. And the abatement, entails drilling a hole in the sub slab of your basement and running a pipe down below it and then using a pump that's on 24/7 to pump air from there up onto your roof to release into the atmosphere. Radon is basically like a radioactive gas that is created by the natural decay of uranium ore. And like, concrete with uranium ore is sometimes used in the production of houses, which is where some people get radon. But in Wyoming, it's like in the soil because this is where they get uranium. This is where they mine it. Like there's a giant uranium mine like 25 miles from my house. One of the biggest ones in America, or the biggest ones in the Northern Hemisphere. So, you know, it exists and it's something you have to deal with, and it can give you lung cancer. Like, even people who don't smoke can get lung cancer from living in a house with radon. So we paid about $1,200 about a year ago to get this abatement put in. Now, you can go down the basement and stand next to the PVC pipe that goes from the floor up through, you know, out the house. You hear a tiny motor sound, but it's not the sound I'm hearing. It just sounds like a little electric motor. But I think what it is, I think it's creating, you know, like, so the in the basement, the finished basement, below that, there's a slab of concrete that the house is on, the foundation of the house. And below that is gravel. That's how they do it with this kind of house in the 50s. That's how they did it.
Yeah.
So for brick houses. So
that's common, yeah.
So there's like a giant air pocket in gravel right under the house. And that's what they're constantly pumping out of, the radon out of. So, but I think that the motor is like turning that into a resonant chamber. So I think this low hum that I'm hearing is kind of the whole house vibrating quietly. It's kind of weird.
That is weird.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I don't take amphetamines anymore, or I'd think it was the government. Let's talk about low frequency energy. First of all, there is something called extremely low frequency, or ELF.
Yes.
Now, and it is used by the government for communications from ground to, are you rubbing your hands with delight? Is that what that was?
Wow, you can hear that?
I told you I have super kitty hearing.
I'm impressed. Well,
I heard that one, and I have horrible hearing. So.
Oh my gosh.
So, well, it's Fiend Phone. It doesn't have the noise reduction that Skype has.
Yeah.
So, they use ELF. Electronic, extremely low frequencies to communicate from the ground, from land to submarines in the middle of the ocean, because extremely low frequencies will travel well through ground and through, you know, hundreds of miles of ocean water. But there's a theory that it's also used as a weapon, and it's also used for mind control. Now, that guy that shot up the Navy Yard a couple years ago, do you guys remember that?
I remember.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had posted something online about how the government was inserting commands into his mind with electronic ELF. And on the weapon he used to kill people at the Navy Yard, he'd written, my ELF weapon. Like,
I remember that.
Yes. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. So pick one of these many links I sent you that I'm going to dump all of them into the show notes and just read some of this stuff. It's pretty cool. It's interesting.
Well,
go ahead, Jeremy.
The ELF link itself. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you said it's that the U.S. use it. It says, yeah, ELF radio waves are generated by lightning and natural disturbances in Earth's magnetic field. So they are subject of.
So the government says.
So they claim. So they are subject of research by atmospheric scientists. Because of the difficulty of building antennas that can radiate such waves, ELF frequencies have been used.
ELF.
In only very few human-made communication systems. ELF waves can penetrate seawater, like you said, which makes them useful in communications with submarines. But it says the only nations that have these. Have facilities for communication purposes are the U.S., Russia, and India.
Hmm. Now, how do they know that? How do they? They don't even know what North Korea has.
They don't know. Nope.
Well, that's what the almighty gods at Wikipedia say. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah. When they were promised 72 virgins, they didn't know it would be the editors on Wikipedia.
Well, okay, so they're the only ones that have, I guess, are.
And I say that
known.
Because we'll I used to have a Wikipedia page. For 5 years, there was a Michael W. Dean Wikipedia page that I did not start, that was maintained by people who contribute to Wikipedia, and then it got taken away as not notable. Now, several things I've done are still $30 Film School and DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist, a book and a movie I wrote, and another movie I did, Hubert Sowey Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, have Wikipedia pages. So apparently I can do things that are notable without being notable, which is fine with me, you know.
Why not?
And it really is how you should do it. It's like, you know, the art's more important than the person. It's the message, not the medium. So there.
Yep.
Go on.
There you go.
I agree.
That's taking that to that ultimate level.
Yeah.
Which is why the Fiends rocks even when I'm not on it, because I've trained you all and you have your own thoughts and ideas. But when I'm not on, sometimes I hear my words coming out of your mouth. It's like Tyler Durden. It really is. Even James Babb, who says, you know, doesn't take commands from any man. I heard him talking about what was it? Oh, drug. It was Nuremberg trials for drug warriors. He was saying that the other day, and that's my thing. It came out of his mouth. I heard it. I'm not taking credit. I'm saying, like, hey, yeah. I've trained you guys well without you knowing it. The mind control rays work through Fiend Phone. So read more about
maybe
this
that.
Stuff.
Maybe Fiend that's program. Why you're hearing it. Are you running an elf program out of your house, Michael? And you're not telling
yes. yes.
What's going on?
This is your way of throwing it off.
I was wondering what that weird face was down the street. We have this really weird, like, secret. I don't know what to call it. It's not really a base because I live on the Chesapeake Bay and there's this research facility. That's what the signs say. And it's some kind of military outfit. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And now that I'm looking at these pictures of the sonic weapon, I'm starting to think it might have something to do with this. It's creepy. Yeah. It's really creepy. Nobody knows what it is. Like, what do they do over there?
Actually, I've heard stories, not necessarily, not like a sonic weapon specifically, but I actually have heard stories about sonic type weaponry coming out of that area and also out of areas further upstate in New York. I've heard plenty of stories of stuff like
that. Well, read this article. Read the section of the ELF page.
On the human, low frequencies. On the human, yeah.
Effects on the human nervous system. Yeah.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah, so there's a study done in 99 that showed the threshold for direct perception of exposure by the human volunteer subjects. Here you go. Here, take some radio waves.
What?
Is around 2 to 5. I don't know what this is. I don't know this abbreviation, KV per KVM at 60 hertz. I don't know what that actually stands for. Is there? Mm-hmm. No, there isn't one. With 10% of volunteers detecting the ELF levels. The percentage increased to 50% when the ELF's levels were raised to 7 to 20 KVM. 5% of all test subjects considered the perception of ELF at these thresholds annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
So, and it says they create an annoying tingling sensation in the areas of the body in contact with clothing, particularly the arm.
I was wondering if, like, the government was making me sick. That's been a mild theory in the back of my head the whole time. And, you know, anybody would say I'm crazy to think that, and they'd probably be right, and I don't really think that. But it was pretty weird. Like, I go after the government pretty hard on this show daily, and then I got really sick out of nowhere, and I've been really sick for a while, and, like, doctors couldn't fix it, and it was lung issues. So I read somewhere that low frequencies can affect the lungs. So the other day I produced a 17 hertz sine wave and played it really loud in my room, and it made my lungs itch.
Whoa.
And made me cough. Really? So I won't do that again. And I don't really think the government's doing this to me, but if they are, I'm onto them.
Well, I mean, see, they actually could be, just not directly to you. They could be doing, you know, that it could just, you could just fall in an area where they're testing this stuff anyway.
They've been known to do it before. Oh, they've done, I mean, they've sprayed, you know, I don't think I believe in chemtrails, but I do believe it's a fact and verifiable that, you know, the U.S. government has done things like poured flu virus on a town out of an airplane just to see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the 50s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, there's, yeah, like there's stuff like, oh, of course,
yeah,
you know, and stuff like, you know, MK Ultra, that was a conspiracy theory for a long time. No, they were really doing it.
I think it's
COINTELPRO and all
they're
that.
They're trying to make me into a Manchurian candidate to throw glitter on Dick Cheney.
He lives great in visual.
Can you just do that for fun anyway?
Yeah.
No. We'll be back with more about my elf weapon.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Possible.
Yep. So, Lisa, what's down the street from you?
Oh. Okay, so there's that military-style research facility with all the very generic
the socialist one.
Sketchy-looking equipment everywhere and these big, like, I don't know. And people always said that it was some kind of radar facility, but we've all speculated about what they really do there. So I just looked it up out of curiosity, and it's a 168-acre site that provides facilities and support services for research in radar and electronic warfare.
Yeah.
So I feel really good about living here now. I really do.
Well, keep in mind, they'll try anything because they have all the money and all the good science. Well, a lot of the good scientists. And, you know, a lot of good science is illegal. So, like, if you're really good with computer science, they bust you for hacking and then make you work for them.
Yeah.
Like that, like the guy with the gerbil or the guinea pig in House of Cards, who's based on Barrett Brown, actually. But
Oh, my goodness.
But keep in mind, like, the government experimented with ESP as a weapon at one point. That's how zany they are. Mm-hmm. They'll do anything. They tried to use, like, cats to spy on the Kremlin. And it was discovered that cats just aren't very obedient. Unlike dogs.
Yeah, there's no audience.
There are no police cats. They won't do it.
Cats are anarchists, yeah.
That's why I don't want a dog, man. I don't want something that's, like, slovenly obedient. It would offend me.
Not all.
And then it would kill me.
Bad,
like, they're either obedient or they'll murder you. Whereas cats kind of do what they want. But, you know, if you die, your cat
they'll
will eat you way quicker than your dog.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Most dogs will tend to lie with you for a little while first.
Yeah. And we know this how, Jeremy? Jeremy's okay. Your really quick dog tips. Don't drive with the dog sitting in your lap like everyone in Wyoming. Oh. Why?
Oh yeah.
You worked in a dog hospital.
Yeah, well, people think it's cute to have their dog sit in their lap when they're driving down the road. And it seems cute and all, but if you're driving at anywhere over, 25, 30 miles an hour, and you get even a minor fender bender, and your airbag deploys, your dog is now dead because he's been crushed between the airbag and your sternum.
Yeah.
Not a good place for your dog. Same thing with, you know, the
airbags
most
can
people.
Break your ribs.
Yeah, well, you know, they break people's noses regularly, you know. Yeah. So, like, just imagine, you know, and there's a reason they tell you not to put babies in the front seat because, you know, the airbag will crush them. But the same, there's also the same thing, similar thing with dogs hanging their head out the window. You know, again, most people have seen it done a million times.
I'm a dog in a truck in Wyoming,
like,
and my life is happy. Yeah, we have a song.
It seems like you're being nice to your dog, but after working in an animal hospital and seeing multiple dogs get brought in because the tiniest little pebble got kicked up and shot into their eye because they don't blink like we do, and they're just hanging their head out, not paying attention to anything. It's horrible. So,
and you know there's a video going around of a cat on someone's. Have you seen that one of the cat on the dash?
Yes.
No, I
sure have. Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah. It's probably
lying on its back.
Safer than having a dog in your lap.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, they're very unpredictable. Although,
all right, tell us about the hum, Jeremy.
The hum.
Because I'm feeling it.
The hum.
Yes.
Or the hum. You have the hum? Go ahead. The hum.
I have it. The hum is a phenomenon or collection of phenomena involving widespread reports of a persistent and invasive low frequency humming, rumbling,
fracking.
Or droning noise, not audible to
it's
all
fracking.
People.
You know, it could be fracking. That's an explanation for a lot of times when, like, you know, like 400 people in a small town call 911 in the middle of the night because they all get woken up by a sound. It's often fracking, and fracking is huge in Wyoming. You know those videos of, like, water coming out of a spigot, like out of a faucet being lit on fire? That was 40 miles from me. That happens here.
Wow.
So, yeah, could be fracking, but go on.
That's good possible. The hums have been widely reported by national media in the UK and the US. The hum is sometimes prefixed with the name of a locality where the problem has been particularly publicized. The Bristol hum. Or the Taos hum.
The Casper hum.
Unclear Casper whether this is a single phenomenon. Different causes have been attributed. In some cases, it may even manifest in tinnitus.
Tinnitus. I have that.
Tinnitus.
But that's not what's happening with me. So I'm not going to be around second hour. Have a good show, guys.
All right.
All right. I can rest my tired lungs. Could have been poked by the hum.
Watch out for that elf weapon.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, kids. Have a good show. Warm. Thank like you for your cervix.
Bye.
Bye.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free and, of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
It's the second hour, right? I don't know what time it is.
Oh, we're at teaching us. It's all good.
This is the Freedom Fiends.
I got it.
Okay.
Broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibFair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And that's what happens when you plan everything out except the most important thing for the start of the second hour. But we are back. This is Jeremy. I'm here with Lisa. How are you doing?
Good. I'm all good now. I think it must have been those waves, those electromagnetic waves.
Yeah.
affecting my brain. Now that I know. I live 2 miles from some kind of facility where they're doing this electronic warfare testing. You know, that's my story. That's my excuse now whenever my brain has hiccups.
There you go. Perfect.
I'm blaming it on that. I blame government for everything else. So
well, this is a new creative way to do it.
Yeah. Makes sense, right?
Of course. So we were talking during the break about this the story you found about the police using a smell test in order to justify raiding a house over cannabis.
Yeah.
And this is insane.
It is really crazy. It's one of those stories that you read and you think this can't be real. Something's wrong here. Someone's not telling the truth. But it happened in North Carolina, and someone in the house recorded it, so it is on video. The police raided a home. 8 police officers showed up without a warrant, claimed that they smelled marijuana, and pretty much busted into this house and kind of like roughed the people up. One guy got hit with a baton. The police admitted that in their own report. The police walked around the house searching for the pot they supposedly smelled. And the woman, who's 48 years old and has kids who were home when this happened, told the newspaper that they were subject to physical assault, terrorizing actions from a gang of police officers that included assaults with batons, an officer's gun, tasing, and over 4 hours of handcuffed detainment.
Oh my gosh.
All without a warrant.
Just because they said they smelled something.
Right. Just for that. And one of the woman whose home it was said everybody was tased. One officer hit my son in the face with his Glock. We were choked, kicked, thrown down on the floor. This is harassment. It felt like I was being surrounded by an unruly gang that meant me and my family nothing but harm. Go figure.
that's exactly what happened, miss, and I'm very sorry, but that wasn't harassment. That was assault. That was flat-out assault, I guess in their language, assault and battery then, because that was just, that's uncalled for in almost any situation, but just because you claim you smell something,
yep.
And a plant, they said they smelled a plant.
I know, that's the most outrageous.
My voice is cracking, oh my God.
No, I know, that's the most outrageous thing to me. They claimed that there was a strong odor of marijuana. I mean, seriously, marijuana. These people are in their house minding their own business using a plant. And they end up getting handcuffed for 4 to 5 hours while the police waited to actually get the warrant. So they entered the house at 10:30 p.m., didn't have a warrant, and didn't get one until about 1 a.m. And they'd already arrested and detained everybody in the house before they even had the warrant.
Yeah, so, the justice system. So many people want to point to.
The injustice system.
No, it's insane. This is why when people tell me that I should follow the laws and if I disagree with them, I should go have my day in court. Mm. What day in court?
Look, how's that going to go?
Where is the due process here? Where is anything? Where is any of the rhetoric that people that preach this stuff? Where is any of that in an instance like this?
Right.
Regardless of what the state's laws are, that just because they claim they smell something, they just busted in, beat the ever living heck out of these people, like literally terrorize them. Like, this is the definition of terrorism because it's for political aims, which this is. So this is an actual act of terrorism. There's no getting around that. You could try to justify it and say you follow the law, whatever. This is the definition of terrorism. And they held these poor people for 2.5 hours before the magical piece of the warrant actually even came through.
I know. It's appalling. For anyone to try to justify this in any way would just be shocking to me. Someone tweeted and said, the war on drugs is a war on rights that turns cops bad and makes normal people distrustful of government. No kidding. No kidding. Exactly.
Yeah, there's another one. This happens every single day. Durham police officers smell marijuana. All hell breaks loose. Like, does. It this happens in every single state that cannabis has not been, quote unquote, legalized, which, I think that's a joke in itself. Decriminalization is my thing, but that's a whole different story.
Mine too. I agree with you on that. Yep. Totally
but,
agree.
But where any of these states where this happens, this is a regular occurrence. People are harassed, terrorized, threatened, beaten up. Sometimes killed over a plant. And just because these officers in these situations are just doing their job and, well, we didn't make the laws. How insane is that? You are ruining, destroying people's lives in general with the drug war by, taking people, separating families and throwing people in jail over recreational use where they weren't harming anyone other than possibly themselves. But this takes it to a whole nother level. And these raids, they happen so often. And it's more often than not, you hear these stories where there was nothing there, or they got the wrong house.
Yeah, that is, oh my goodness. There was that one story of that family that actually had, they went through all the legal channels and they had permission to sell medical marijuana. I don't remember what state it was in, but it was one of the ones where it's legal. And there was some kind of little tiny thing that they weren't told about that they were supposed to do. They ended up getting raided. Their home was destroyed. And they still haven't gotten all of their things back. They haven't been compensated for all the damage to their home. None of that by the government. And it turned out to be, you know, whoops, we weren't supposed to raid you for that. Sorry, you know, and there are no consequences for the authorities who ruined this family's life. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just that idea in general. I mean, I've seen that on a smaller scale just for myself. You know, I got harassed and roughed up and thrown in a cage for an hour, all for taking a puff of my my vape pen in Penn Station. And the case got thrown out after the fact because the guy used the wrong, like used the wrong coating or whatever. That's what they told me. They were just, we're just going to forget about this. No harm done.
What?
And I'm no harm done. Kind of
no harm done to them. What?
Well, of course. Exactly. There's nothing, you know, and in my situation was ridiculous because they give you such a small window where you can actually file a suit against these people, you know, to try to make a claim. And, but like I said, that's just on a smaller scale. And that, you know, that's my personal anecdote. But yeah, these other stories, they happen all the time. And it's so insane. Like that story you're talking about with the family getting raided over again, over, oops, we weren't supposed to do that. You know, they do the same thing. They did the same thing a bunch of times, in California when they did have it, you know, the medical for, when the medical first became available there, you know, the feds would still go in and bust them. And, you know, set up stings for certain people and still try to harass these people. So it's like, it doesn't matter on any level, wherever you are, because it's all about the money. They just want to, be able to control the flow of these drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking about that earlier today, and I was thinking about this. These kind of things happen when you have just too much government and too many hands in the pot and too many agencies involved, because, you know, one department may say, like, okay, well, these are the legal channels you need to go through in order to have, say, a medical marijuana dispensary, you know, legally operating. But then there's somebody who didn't know what they were doing and told these people the wrong thing. And then that escalates. And now we have, you know, police departments who apparently supposedly don't know what the laws are and don't know that they've changed, and whoops, a person can have this. And here in Maryland, it's now, you know, marijuana under a certain amount, you can have a little bit and it's decriminalized, you'll get a little fine. But if you have any kind of paraphernalia on you, that's still like a felony, I believe. So you can have a little bit of pot on you, but if you have any kind of apparatus to use it with, then you're in big trouble. So it's supposedly a loophole, but I suspect that it's not, that it's probably intentional. And
it's just an oversight, I'm sure.
Right. Well, have too many laws, that's what happens. It gets too confusing for everyone, like the tax code.
When you pile bureaucracy on top of bureaucracy, nobody knows what the other hand is doing. And the one thing you said about, you know, the cops not actually knowing the laws, well, that's the even more messed up thing, because the original comment to people who would be like, hey, wait a minute, this is what I was told we're supposed to do. What would they get told? Well, ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Right.
So even if they thought, you know, even if they thought it was the law, or if it did happen to be the law, it's like, well, you're wrong as the citizen for not knowing all the 560 million laws that there are.
Right. But, well, they say we all break laws every day and we don't even know it.
Oh, yeah. There's that book, three felonies a day.
Yes.
Who's the author? I forget the guy who wrote that.
I don't know. I don't remember either, but that's what I'm referring to. Yes.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's, you know, and that's the funny thing. So many people that, you know, talk about, I'm a law abiding citizen. Yeah. You realize something as simple as giving prescription drugs, to a family member who may be in need of them, but they're under your prescription, can actually, you know, be a chargeable offense in a lot of places. You know, people don't realize silly everyday things like that. But again, like you said, what's that?
Well, yeah. I mean, like me a couple months ago, I got pulled over because of the license plate reader, because, you know, I broke the law and didn't get an emissions test, which I didn't even know that I was supposed to do. And my car registration was actually suspended, and I didn't even know until the state trooper, you know, pulled me over and said, hey, I'm like, are you serious? Well,
again, Celia, you should have known.
I know. I'm supposed to know every fault. Law.
We'll talk more about ways the government likes to love you when we get back from this trip to the market.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
So we're talking about the CIA. They keep coming up in the news for all this crazy stuff. So a couple of weeks ago, the CIA did some bomb drills. They played around with explosives on some school buses in Northern Virginia, and they forgot to remove some of the explosives from the buses. Oops. And apparently, allegedly, the leftover explosives were found during some routine maintenance, you know, 2 or 3 days after the training exercise was done. So of course they blame the bomb sniffing dogs. You know, the dogs didn't detect it, and you know, it's not like, hey, the adults here in the situation, the humans should have gone in and made sure they removed all these explosives that they put on school buses that kids actually ride on to go to school.
Hold on a second, because that's just insane on so many levels. Because I used to be a school bus driver. And I think they actually had made it a law here in New York. And if it wasn't, at the very least, the company I worked for was very adamant about this. You had a sign that you had to hang up at the back of your bus at the end of the day that said, "This bus has been checked for sleeping children."
Oh my gosh.
At the end of your route, you had to go through the entire bus. Before you walked off that bus for the end of the day, you had to make sure that you checked every seat and made sure. So people like me have to make sure that I'm checking every seat for a child, but the CIA can just say, the dogs didn't see anything, it's good.
Yeah, we can just leave explosives on here, it's no big deal. And they used buses that that were in service, but just the kids were on spring break. Yeah.
But still.
I know, it's horrible. I have a friend who lives in that school district, and she said that they're all really irate, and I don't know what they're doing about it. I don't know any updates on that. But then
a few days later,
I know, probably. We need more regulation. Yeah, how about CIA just not use school buses, you know, for bomb drills?
Let's start there.
I'm totally with you on that. So then, you know, a couple of days later, the CIA comes up in the news again, and this is because, come to find out, they have a venture capital arm called InQtel.
Of course they do.
It's so Orwellian. So I know, of course they do. I really shouldn't have been surprised by this either. But they invest in companies that develop artificial intelligence to sift through enormous numbers of social media postings now. So that's their new thing. So last week we found out that they're investing in a company that makes skincare products that they make customized products based on your DNA. So you give them a sample of your DNA and they make you skincare products based on your needs. So the CIA was like, hey, you know, we want to know about that technology. Like, you're getting people's DNA and they're willingly mailing it to you. We need to be in on this. So now their new thing is they are interested in these companies that can help them sort through all the social media data. And so the Intercept found out about this, and apparently this CIA InQtel has made investments in 38 companies that are startups specializing in analyzing and extracting useful patterns from large amounts of data from social media. Mm. How very creepy. It's so creepy.
Yeah. Well, the thing with this is that you know, the average person, well, I mean, you would hope after the Snowden revelations that the average person wouldn't think this, but sadly, there's still too many people that would automatically say, well, of course the CIA has to do this. You know, they're not looking after us. They're not looking after the average person. They just want to, you know, because I think, didn't this one talk about ISIS and the fact that they've used, or ISIL, as they refer to it in this article? You know, ISIL's tweets and other social media messages publicizing their activities often produce information that, especially in the aggregate, provides real intelligence value. You know, that's what the claim was back in September. So, you know, to the average person, again, well, of course, that's why they're doing it. But right. When you couple
because
that with
terrorism.
What happened, yeah, of course. But then when you couple it with what happened with the Snowden revelations, it's like, well, no, they may not be looking at your stuff right now, but the fact that they can capture it and sift through it, and now they're getting better at sifting through it faster, you know, at any one point, if you aggravate the state, you become an immediate target, and now they have all this information that they can start sifting through just your stuff.
Oh yeah, it says even the FBI is using this to map out networks of relations between people on social media, like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but I just don't picture ISIL or ISIS or whatever using Instagram. I mean, I find it hard to believe that they're using Facebook or Twitter. I'm not.
Well, they supposedly were using Twitter, but yeah, the Instagram seems funny. I it's horrible, right. But I may want to see those pictures.
Yeah.
If they are.
I need some proof.
We'll be back.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey there, this is Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist. I've been rising to power in the Liberty Movement since I was 14 years old, when I first found The Freedom Fiends on my TuneIn app. I quickly became a fan, and a little over a year later, I called into Michael Dean After Dark on my crappy home phone. Michael quickly realized my brilliance, but was disappointed by my audio quality. So he picked me up as a mentee, gave me a microphone, helped me start my own podcast, and threw me on the radio show. Now I'm 17, I'm assembling a yak army, building a cult following of yakateers, and we're planning our march to Fiendfest Somalia to take over the geographic region between the Connecticut River and the Salmon Falls River to make it a libertarian paradise free of faceless boards of authority. Free Freedom Fiends buttons will be given to anybody who swears allegiance to the dear sweet yak emperor and aids our cause. This wouldn't be possible without the help of Nima Vedati and especially Michael Dean. The Freedom Fiends have made me as dear and sweet as I am today. Worms.
Freedom Fiends. We are back.
We're back.
So, we were discussing during the break the story I found last week. That, you know, ties in with our discussion of the CIA, the FBI, and how the federal government in general is always in people's lives. And not even just here in the good old USSA, as I call it. But this story came from The Independent, and the headline was, "I'm on the kill list. This is what it feels like to be hunted by drones." And this is a story written by a man. His story talking about being on the quote-unquote kill list, and it starts off by saying, "I am in a strange position of knowing that I am on the kill list. I know this because I have been told, and I know this because I have been targeted for death over and over again.
It's chilling.
Four times missiles have been fired at me. I am extraordinarily fortunate to be alive." And then it goes on to say, "I don't want to end up a bug splat, the ugly word that is used for what remains of a human being after being blown up by a hellfire missile fired from a predator drone. More importantly, I don't want my family to become victims or even to live with the droning engines overhead, knowing that at any moment they can be vaporized." I am in England this week because I decided that if Westerners wanted to kill me without bothering to come speak with me first, perhaps I should come to speak with them instead. I'll tell my story so that you can judge for yourselves whether I am the kind of person you want to be murdered.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chilling. The whole story was chilling. Like the tagline at the beginning says, "Friends decline my invitations, and I've been taken to sleeping outside under the trees to avoid being a magnet of death for my family." How terrifying is that? Like, we take it, you know. I think a lot of people who live in America and perhaps maybe the UK too kind of take it for granted that, you know, we have our issues here, but we don't have this fear. We don't, not yet. It's probably coming. It's probably coming. But we don't have this fear of, you know, we're just going to be doing our everyday activities and possibly just get, like he said, vaporized by a drone out of the blue. That's got to be an absolutely horrifying way to live. And when he talks about children, I think, didn't he say he has a 6-year-old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that.
Terrified of this. Yeah, but kids shouldn't live like that.
Oh, well, nobody should. And, you know, and unfortunately, you know, most people will probably hear this. Well, I shouldn't say most people. Definitely, you know, the more neocon-ish, you know, the Warhawk type people would automatically say this guy has, you know, of course, well, if they're targeting him, he has to be a bad guy. You know, he goes on to say that he's from, what is it, I can't even pronounce that. Waziristan?
Something like that. Yeah, I've heard it before.
It's the border area between Pakistan and Afghanistan. And he claims to be one of the leaders of the North Waziristan Peace Committee, which is a body of local Maliks, which are community leaders, that is devoted to trying to keep the peace in the region. And they're sanctioned by the Pakistani government, and you know, they're supposed to be, you know, they claim to be trying to prevent violence between the Taliban and the authorities. Like I said, you know, a lot of people would probably hear this and you know, say, oh, well, this guy, you know, the peace front, you know, that's what they think when they think of Orwellian terms, because it's always, you know, it's different when it's somebody else doing it. So when anybody else has a name like, you know, the North Waziristan Peace Committee, oh, they, you know, that's BS. They're not
right.
That's just, you know, that's newspeak. But they don't look at the stuff like, you know, the U.S. or the U.K., you know, the Ministry of this in the U.K. or here, you know, the Department of Defense, which, you know, there's not a lot of defense going on. It's the Department of Offense. You know, it's don't see the newspeak in their own backyard. But like you said, they also don't experience or don't have to even fear the possibility of a Hellfire missile screaming into their into their den as they're watching the evening news, you know. And even if this guy is completely full of it, and even if he, you know, is a dangerous terrorist that we should actually be afraid of, and he is just writing his full story out here and making himself publicly, you know, making it publicly known that he was in England at the time of the writing of this, that, you know, the other people, his family members, the mm-hmm. children that you spoke of, you know, he talked about, you know, the first droning happened. He left. He gave his vehicle to his nephew, and the drones were circling overhead, and they ended up targeting and sending a Hellfire missile at a vehicle that looked almost identical to his vehicle, which he had just lent his nephew, and the four passengers in the other vehicle were blown to smithereens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So that was the first one, which he kind of was like, okay, he had thought he had heard that he might be a target, but that might just be coincidence, because the two trucks just happened to look at each other. But mm-hmm. the people that were killed were whatchamacallit, they were not any, they had no links to any terrorist organizations or anything like that, you know, the investigation afterwards. And also his nephew was seriously injured. He spent a month in the hospital. He survived, but he still ended up spending a month in a hospital. And then the second one, similar situation, a vehicle almost identical to mine, gets to his, gets blown up. And then the third one also came in 2010. The first two had come in 2010. Somebody invited him to dinner. He goes there right before he shows up. He calls to tell him his friend is about to get there.
Yeah.
And a missile strikes to his friend's house.
That's
and kills three people, including another one of his cousins.
Jeez.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's so like this is the and then there was another one after that. So he kind of figured at a certain point, yes, they're definitely targeting him. It's kind of almost impossible for four of these situations within, I think, a year and a half total span to happen.
That's not a coincidence.
But again, exactly. But again, even if he is this horrible person, what about all these other people? What proof is there? What, you know, that they did anything wrong to deserve this? And, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier about the accountability factor in government as a whole, you know, not just whether it's the military, whether it's the police, just oops, you know, they write it off as collateral damage.
Yeah, I was about to say that, which is the most, that's such a sick term. I mean, we're talking about human beings here, and a lot of these have been children. And that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. I mean, we have, you know, Obama, who's this Peace Prize winner, who there have been more drone strikes under him than there even were under Bush. And these people live in fear every day. Like, imagine having a child or being a child and not understanding, like, you haven't done anything wrong and all you're doing. I've seen a lot of video footage of people just saying, you know, just make it stop. You know, we can't even live. We can't do anything. Our cities are destroyed. There's a website called Out of Sight, Out of Mind, and it's an interactive drone strike website. And they have a timeline, and they show how many kids and how many civilians have been killed by drone strikes since 2004. And right now, the count is saying that there's, well, almost 4,000 people who have been killed by drones. Yeah. And at least according to this count now, and I'm not sure this is completely updated here, I think it's through 2015, that 190 of them were kids.
Yes. And I'm sure every one of them was a dangerous terrorist.
Right. 534 civilians. And only less than half of them were actually the targets that, you know, they were trying to strike. But like you were saying earlier, I mean, even if these are bad guys, is this really how this should be done? And doesn't this just make things worse for everyone? I mean,
Of course.
Right. Well, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind, right?
Well, yeah, that's a very apropos quote, because this is, you know, the people in these countries, even the more, I guess on the geopolitical front, they call them like the more moderate individuals, will say, you know, this is what radicalizes people. You know, this is what you live in a country where you're in constant fear of. You know, like he even mentioned in this article, you know, the people, his family, not just fear being killed, but because they have to be in constant fear, just hearing the engines go by. You know, they hear them, they see them, like they know that they know they're there, you know, constantly. And like you said, you know, nobody here knows what that's like.
No.
And people don't take it into consideration, and they don't. That's why it's so easy. You know, that's why that website, of course, is perfectly named, you know, Out of Sight, Out of Mind, because that's exactly what it is. And most people, if you try to present it to them this term, they immediately recoil and they don't want to think about it because, you know, all they can see is something like 9/11, you know, where there's with this single incident, and it, you know, it radicalized a lot of people in a sense. But it got, you know, that got attention. But what if you had another country occupying yours constantly?
Oh, yeah.
What if you had another country with their drones patrolling your skies and your neighborhoods on a regular basis. You know, what is it like to live under that? And for anybody to advocate for war or advocate for going to these countries and not take that into consideration, that's like sociopathic to me, honestly.
I agree. I totally agree with you. And I've heard it said, you know, sarcastically that, well, you know, if these countries don't want to, you know, mess the U.S. military, they shouldn't be located so close to all of our bases. All the U.S., because the U.S. has bases pretty much everywhere, right? And
yeah, it's 140 something countries, maybe 120, something like that, I think.
Yeah, and then I saw a video today, I don't know if you saw it circulating online, about how, I guess, apparently a U.S. warship, like a I guess a Russian plane came close to a U.S. warship, but what they didn't tell was that that warship was actually planted right near Russia.
Yeah, how dare they?
Go figure.
All right, well, after this list, trip to the market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yeah, that sounds like so much like a party.
Three-year kind of pushing it. Yeah, it does. You socialists trying to limit how many clones I can have.
One clone. Some clone. Some people don't have any clones.
Yeah.
More than enough. So we are back for the final segment. Looking for a little redemption here after those wonderful, wonderful stories of the government, you know, raping your mind with radio waves, hunting you down with drones.
Yep.
So we were talking during the last break about trying to figure out ways to improve our lives, and I think we both decided that having a clone of each other, of ourselves, would definitely go a long way, and also ties in with ending government in general. Because why would you need more government when you can just get a clone of yourself? And split your work in half and have somebody to help out and participate in even more voluntary interactions.
Yeah, we need clones and we need teleportation devices. Oh, those are two things that I want.
Somebody needs to get on that right now.
Yes, please. Someone smarter than me.
Well,
you guys,
I mean,
have the tech skills.
Cloning, I guess technically they'd be closer to, right? Because, you know, they've cloned body parts, they've cloned sheep, right? They've cloned other animals.
Yeah, Dolly, the cloned sheep.
You know,
I think that went really badly, though, didn't it?
It's like, yeah, it's, you know,
bad stuff happens.
Just like anything else, first to market, not necessarily the best in the business, but, you know, keep trying. and eventually,
someday,
it'll hopefully be perfected.
Hopefully you won't end up with three eyeballs and legs or whatever. No, I don't know. And that might be good, though. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, of course, you run into all the other issues of, well, what kind of rights does the clone have? You know, who does it actually belong to? Is it its own entity? But, you know, aside from all that, you know, another reason to get government out of the way, because if that went horribly wrong, you know, how many regulations were in place? How many levels of bureaucracy did they have to go through in order to get Dolly cloned in the first place? You know, who else was kept out of market? In order to have that accomplished, you know, I mean,
is
come
your
on,
clone registered.
Well, yeah, but you know exactly. You know, I mean, you said it earlier. The government's in everything, and this is what they do. You know, the bureaucracy it bogs everything down, and this is just another example. So we need government out of the way so we can get our clones. Forget about the flying cars and all that other stuff people usually talk about. I want my clone, darn it.
I really do. I think it sounds good. I don't know. Two of me is a little bit terrifying of a thought, though. I don't know that I want to inflict that upon the world.
two of me would probably scare the bejesus out of most people I've ever met. But aside from that, considering I don't normally care about what other people think, as long as I'm not actually hurting anybody, I could be. How much more productive could we be? You know, how many other things could we get done?
Curly gets stuff done. I might actually get a fraction of the things that I don't get done now done.
Exactly.
Probably not, if I'm going to be honest, because...
You would think the communists would be on board with this, you know, just more workers, you know, production. Oh, come on, means of production.
We probably could get them on board.
There's a way to sell it to everybody, I think. Well, I mean, as long as
it's
you don't
all in
overdo
the marketing.
It. As long as you don't overdo it. We were also talking about, you know, one of Michael Keaton's greatest roles, I believe, in Multiplicity.
Yes.
Great movie from, what was that, late 80s, early 90s? I forget. Somewhere around there. It was a great glimpse into what you could do. I mean, you know, like you said, I think he took it a little too far because he ended up, what was there, four of them?
Something like that. They had all different personalities. Yeah.
Yeah, because there was the one that was kind of like him, but the hard worker, which is what he wanted. But it wasn't enough because, and then he needed the guy that was no nonsense, but then he ended up being kind of a dirty pervert. And I remember the last one was like he was kind of brain dead, and he was just he was very dopey, and I guess basically mildly retarded. I don't remember if there was one in between. No, I think that was it. But you know,
there
exactly.
was like a bad boy one, and then there was one who decorating skills and wore pink and stuff. Yeah,
because he took it too far. That's what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Everything in moderation, even your clones.
Yes.
I think that's good advice.
That is very good sound advice for the masses.
You don't want too many clones, because, you know, especially if you're if you're supposed to be controlling them, you know, just too much to look after.
It is. I can barely handle my own life, so.
So that is the message for today.
That is.
Forget about government. Let's get them out of the way.
Let's get the clones going.
Yes, get the clones.
Someone do that, please.
Oh, this has been a lot of fun, Lisa.
Yep.
Let's do it again sometime.
Okay.
Hopefully next time we're a little closer on the clone front. Well, then I won't know if
bring
I'm
him on the show
you.
With us.
Yeah, exactly. See,
you won't know. That's the fun of it.
I may have to rethink this.